Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Louis, how are you, my friend?
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Well, I didn't have to have braces, though, Louis. I bought my plastic teeth straight.
And James Strebel.
I could feel the drilling, and I started talking.
Oh, no.
And they're just like, that's not supposed to happen.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
How about our Paisan buddy Rick Pitino taking the St. John's job at 70?
I just talked to Rick today. He's on cloud nine. Oh, my God, is he on cloud nine? He found heaven, man. He was the best by far coach I've ever seen in terms of skills, teaching, organizing, every minute really occupied with something positive happening. And you've probably seen him 100 times down there while you were at Louisville. Hey, let me ask you one question quickly. That's another disappointing year this year. Louisville, I mean, really, you expect a little better than what they're showing, obviously. Now, how are they doing right now? What's the word? I haven't got too much information. I know they got a big kid they signed who was really good. Have they really improved so far in terms of getting players?
Well, we'll see.
And welcome into The Take. I'm James Strebel. Avery Dill producing today's effort. Hello, Avery. Good afternoon.
Hey.
It's good to see you. I know you got that Cardinal shirt on. Avery, how dare you? Don't you know I'm a Kentucky fan? What are you doing? No red in here when I'm here. I'm kidding, obviously.
What I want.
There you go. I like that. Good. Producing today's effort, Avery Dill. Andy Sweeney, our guy, he's in Houston, or maybe he's on his way to Houston. Maybe he's in his hotel room getting a little nap in before tonight's festivities. Maybe he's finding a bar. Maybe he's trying to find Kermit Davis for a hard-hitting interview about what happened with his job at Ole Miss and why did he get fired. Who knows what Andy's up to? He'll be back with us tomorrow. He'll be on Radio Row doing the Westwood One thing, and we'll have some coaches interviews, some coaches sound. Who knows who our guy will run into, what shenanigans he'll get up to. But I've got you for the next 3 hours here on The Take, ESPN 680, 105.7, live in the Liquor Barn Studios. And Avery, I mean, today's one of those days. You look outside. Have you been out in, you know, here recently at all?
Not since 8 a.m.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's like the perfect day. It's like the perfect day. This is a day where you go, you find a bar that has one of those outdoor patio places.
Ooh, yes.
And you get a bucket filled with ice and beer, and you sit and you enjoy the weather. You shoot the bleep and do all that. But no, we're here in the studio today. The beautiful Liquor Barn Studios, which is that's a close second to me, Avery. It's a close second.
It is. And the chaos that goes on around here, like, we could be a bar.
We could be a bar. Oh, you know, absolutely. Look, I've been in the studio when it has been a bar. when they signed the deal with Louisville, it was a bar. There was drinks flowing. My man Blankenbaker.
I couldn't drink that day.
Oh, you couldn't? Why not?
Because I was doing a 24 or 48 hour fast.
Oh, gotcha. So when the mimosas were out.
Bad idea.
And
with how I make my drinks, not good.
Bad timing all around.
Oh, yeah. I was so upset.
Well, don't worry. Mark Blankenbaker had all your mimosas, so you're good.
Hey, I finished off the champagne that Saturday for the Louisville baseball game.
Oh, there you go.
Worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you waited, but you got your drink. So there
I
you
did.
Go. We have a full show today here on ESPN 680-1057. 437-9680 if you want to text and get in on the show on the UPS Jobs text line. I almost gave the phone number out, but I don't know if we'll take calls or not. Heck, maybe we do if I run out of things to talk about, which I don't think I will. We have guests on guests on guests. We have David Sisk. He'll be with us at 3:30 from the Rivals Network. He'll talk a little bit of Kentucky, some Wheeler, thoughts on guys coming back, his thoughts on the transfer portal. Also, he covers the Tar Heels for North Carolina for Rivals as well. So I'll ask about Caleb Love, obviously a big talking point around here as Louisville fans think they're getting everybody in the transfer portal. Like Blankenbaker, my man, slow down. Quit retweeting every single guy that goes in the portal. It reminds me of when he tweets about football recruiting. It's just tweet after tweet after tweet. And he's on vacation. He's in a pool. He's swimming in the ocean with his wife and his baby. He's supposed to be having a good time. Get off Twitter, Blank. Enjoy the sun. Let all of us do all that grunt work. You have a good time. So David Siskel, he'll be with us at 3:30. Then at 4 o'clock, Dan Issel from Issel and Louie, your good friend, he'll join us now. Is he going to call or is he connecting?
I am going to give him a call. Like, his Lucy app is just doing its own thing, so...
Okay, that's fine.
We're just going to do a phone call, make
that's
it
fine.
Easy.
Yeah, we'll make it easy to do a phone call. We'll get Big Is in here. I got a bone to pick with Big Is. I got to ask him about this Kansas stuff, so I'm sure it'll be a lively conversation. And then Tobias Bass, he'll be on at 4:30. He's from The Athletic. He was at the McDonald's All-American game, and he was at the practices. He has a piece up right now discussing what he saw with not just the Kentucky guys, but Ronald Holland, Bronny James, Isaiah Collier, some of the big stars that were out last night. We'll talk Lamar Jackson. Does anybody want Lamar Jackson to be their quarterback? There's a lot coming out. I mean, you had the Patriots, you had the Falcons have come out and said no thank you, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And then, obviously, Kentucky football salaries. We'll talk about those. Some eye-popping numbers, some numbers that are comparable to some of the biggest teams, the most successful teams in the country. So we'll have a discussion about that. I've got an NBA mock draft and a Weird Wednesday. I promise you all we'll do Weird Wednesday today. It's going to be a good one. It's very pertinent to today's conversations. But we have to start, Avery, and everyone listening. We had to start with the McDonald's All-American game last night because it was one of those situations as a Kentucky fan where I was on pins and needles. I'm not going to lie, because we have based, as Kentucky fans and, you know, just in general, we base a lot on recruiting. And one of the big knocks on John Calipari has been his inability to get those elite guys the way he used to, the way he got John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins and Bam Adebayo, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, and some of those super classes that he's had in the past have kind of dwindled. Last year, just two guys with Chris Livingston and Kaysom Wallace. The year before that, really, Ty Washington was the big name. I know Damian Collins was a five-star, but he hasn't really panned out the way we thought he would as a star. So Ty was really the only guy in that class that really played in the McDonald's All-American game. Damian Collins did too, but, you know, Ty was kind of the dude for Kentucky guys that we were watching. But, you know, and he had B.J. Boston and Terrence Clark. That McDonald's All-American game did not happen because of COVID. I think Devin Askew was a McDonald's All-American as well. So he's had these classes where he's had, like, maybe, you know, one, two, three guys. But it had been years since we had seen four Kentucky guys. And not just four guys where you have, you know, these players are ranked 1 through 30 for the most part. I mean, these were the top guys. You had top 10 guys in Aaron Bradshaw, Justin Edwards, and DJ Wagner. And then you had Reed Shepherd in the 20s, 30s, depending on what service you're looking at. And so there was nervousness in this game. And I know it's an all-star game, and I know it doesn't really mean anything, but you use it as a litmus test as to how do our guys stack up and play against the other premier talents around the country. I mean, there are Duke guys there, Arkansas guys, and you know, obviously Bronny James is uncommitted, but he was a big story and he performed well last night. I want to get to all of that. But for Kentucky fans, it was the first real chance you got to see some of your guys play together and play in a competitive basketball game. And look, I'm the first one to tell you, normally all-star games are usually what they are. It's just an exhibition game. You poo-poo it away. They don't compete. It's all about offense. It's all about showcasing. Guys don't really play defense. The guys don't put their bodies on the line because they don't want to get hurt, because obviously they're set now to make big time NIL money. They're trying to set themselves up for their NBA futures. But last night did not fit that mold. It was a highly competitive game where guys were out there going at each other. There was defense played. Guys were diving for the ball. They were fighting for rebounds. It was very unlike McDonald's All-American games that I've seen in the future. And trust me, I'm a Kentucky fan. I've watched a lot of them. And to see the competitiveness at that level, I think you can tell a little bit more about some of these players in games like this, where they are trying, where they are not just about, okay, let me go get mine, I'm going to go YOLO and just shoot whenever I want. They were passing, they were trying to initiate offense, and they were playing some damn good defense at times. Not the whole game, but at times, especially in the second half. So really, for me, it was a tale of two halves, where in the first half, the Kentucky guys played okay. You know, Justin Edwards, I think he had like 7 points in the first half. Aaron Bradshaw hit some free throws. But DJ Wagner, while he was on the floor as much or more than anybody from the East, didn't really do too much. So I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, here we go. Because I know Louisville fans, look, I know y'all are listening. I know you're out there. You were hate watching that game. I would have done the same thing. I'm not even blaming you. You're hate watching it. You're like, I want to see DJ Wagner be a bum. I want to see Aaron Bradshaw and Justin Edwards be a bum. Reed Shepard, I want to see him not belong on the court with the rest of this elite talent. And in the first half, that was my worry. I was like, okay, we're putting a lot of, not all of our eggs, but a lot of the eggs in the basket of these recruits. We're banking on them to be dudes, to be dogs, like I've been saying. Our guy, Eddie Sweeney, had some fun with that. Between now, the dogs are coming. And last night, in the first half, I was like, maybe they're puppies. Like, maybe they're puppies. And in the second half, my man DJ Wagner, he took over. He took over. Three-pointers, bang. Dunks, bang. Blocks, bang. Steals, bang. Clutch free throws, bang. Getting past his man anytime he wanted to on the way to the cup, bang. I was tantalized. I was titillated at what I saw last night in that McDonald's All-American game. And you can look at the stats. DJ Wagner comes away with the MVP. 19 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. 2 blocks. Aaron Bradshaw, 18 points, 10 of 13 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds. Something I saw from Aaron Bradshaw that I wanted to see. He was not afraid to get in there and mix it up and rebound the basketball and put it back. I was a little worried about his weight. I was also a little worried that he just wanted to live outside in the perimeter. That was not the case. He did hit a 3. He did hit some jump shots, but he was ready to go down low and bang in the paint, and that's what I wanted to see from him. Justin Edwards, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, hit some threes. Reed Shepard, who, look, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, he looked like he belonged. He absolutely looked like he belonged out there with the elite talent. And this is a question that I want to ask either David Sisk and or Tobias Bass. You know, we've had multiple recruiting guys on here. David Cassidy, Travis Branham, Travis Graff. And all of them kind of undersell this class. Is like, it's all right, it's not very good. I wonder if last night and this week at the McDonald's All-American game and those practices changed anybody's mind. Because that was a high-level, highly competitive high school basketball game. And those dudes were studs. There were dudes out there. I was expecting, I was not expecting what I saw. It was much better than I had thought. For the class that had been undersold as much as this class has, I was impressed. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Kentucky fan. There, like, Isaiah Collier is really good. Ronald Holland is really good. Bronny James is going to be a star. Like, how he's not top 10, I don't know. That dude's good. I know his name, last name is James. People are like, oh yeah, he's a 5-star or 4-star just because of his name. No, that dude can play. He can play. And there were guys for Auburn out there. We'll see in the SEC. All around, it was a great product. But the night belonged to DJ Wagner. And the night belonged to Kentucky fans. Because before the game even started, DJ Wagner rolls up in an all-white Rolls Royce from Lex Exotic Car Dealership. He pops out of the car with his McDonald's All-American warm-ups on and said, "Hey, this is DJ Wagner, Kentucky basketball commit. Let me show you my badass Rolls Royce." How about that? Then what did he do? He went on the court and he took over the second half. Look, the East was down the entire first half and most of the second half. DJ Wagner took over, won the game for his team with help from the Kentucky guys. It was a great night for Kentucky basketball. I'm going to steal this take from Andy Sweeney. He texted us earlier today. He said, "This is the best night for Kentucky basketball since when? The Bahamas." And look, I get it. I know how the Bahamas ended, right? But this was playing against high elite level, NBA level talent at the high school ranks. And poor Louisville fans. Poor Louisville fans. Y'all doing some backflips, some ducking, some dodging, trying to backpedal some on your takes. Y'all wanted DJ Wagner, and I know how you felt watching that game last night. You thought you had that dude wrapped up. You thought KP hired Pop Milt Wagner, who we'll get to in just a second here. You thought that connection would seal the deal, and I know you won't admit it. You hate watched it. I know you did. Y'all left hurt. Y'all are hurt. And I saw on Twitter today, "Oh, that's not how we want to build a team. We don't want that. We want portal dudes. We want grown men. We want grown men from the portal. That's what we want." Y'all are going to start a reclassification at the two guard. At least that's what y'all are telling me. Dennis Evans is a true freshman. Y'all want him to start at the center position. Caleb Williams, y'all want him to start at your power forward or your three. He's a freshman. So y'all can't sit here and tell me I can't get excited about my freshmen, who all are McDonald's All-Americans, zero of yours are, and tell me that they can't make it to a Final Four because they're young, and then tell me you're going to have three, four freshmen start on your team. Stop it. Stop it! I don't want to hear it. You can't tell me you want dudes in the portal and then say brag about your freshmen. You can't have it both ways. Now, to be fair to Louisville and Kentucky both, there's still plenty of time left before these rosters are solidified. Both teams will get guys in the portal. I think Kenny Payne will have greater success than he did last year in the portal because he's already had greater success recruiting guys anyway. So the rosters aren't done yet. But I just found it pretty funny and telling how fast y'all were to tell me y'all didn't want DJ Wagner and you don't want Burger Boys. Y'all want them Burger Boys? If Dennis Evans was a fry guy, y'all be retweeting and hooping and hollering at Mike Rutherford and Mark Blankenbaker and Matt McGavick and McCammon and Jody, and everybody be out there just tweeting about all these dudes. "Oh, look at these Burger Boys coming in." But since you all got spurned and burned, y'all mad. I'd be mad too. I'm not even blaming y'all. I get it. Just don't do this false take where you didn't want him anyway. And you don't want McDonald's All-Americans and freshmen. Because what do y'all got? Y'all got freshmen without the Burger Boy title. That's what y'all got. And maybe Trenton Flowers would have been one next year. But he reclassified, which is fine. That's actually good for you all. But don't trot out, "We don't want five stars and build our team around freshmen," and then your coach is building your team around freshmen, four and five stars. Because that's exactly what's happening. That's found to be a little hypocritical. All right, now, Avery. We have some sound, right? We got a little Milt Wagner. This was a bit of a curveball. I was not expecting this last night. But Milt Wagner was interviewed at the game. As you know, DJ's his grandson. And the first question that he got was a haymaker played Avery Dill.
"What can DJ do here? He's already going to Kentucky. I know you got to be really excited about that. What can he do tonight to really elevate himself amongst his peers?"
"Well, just go ahead and have fun. Do what he's been doing all his life. This is a game he loves. And he's understand. He's been through a lot of things in his career, so he knows what to do. I'm sure he'll pick it up in a minute here."
Oh, no. Just right, Bill, why did he have any Louisville stuff on? Did he have Adidas on? He wasn't there repping the cars, and she came out with it. Play that again, Avery. Play that one more time. I got to hear it again. Play it, Avery.
"What can DJ do here? He's already going to Kentucky. I know you're really excited about that. What can he do tonight to really elevate himself amongst his peers?"
"Well, just go ahead and have fun. Do what he's been doing all his life. This is a game he loves, and he's understand. He's been through a lot of things in his career, so he knows what to do. I'm sure he'll pick it up in a minute here.
And he did pick it up in the middle. It was great. It was great. Also, fabulous Phil Baker texted me, World Wide West, sitting over his shoulder during that interview. He was sitting over Milt's shoulder. So World Wide West is supposed to bring you guys these types of players. No! No! The narrative is falling apart. I remember this. Ah! Avery's making faces at me. This is all me, Avery, so yeah, I hope you're having fun.
The last time we did radio together and we were in studio, it was a bad day, and you were just so mellow, and now you're just more you.
I'm fired up!
It's weird seeing you animated as you're doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you get to witness it for the first time. Let's read some texts. There's texts flying in, Avery. There's texts all over the place, as I knew there would be. Texter, how many freshmen are in the Final Four? No, look, this is an outlier Final Four. Last year you had the Blue Blood Final Four where there were some really good freshmen in that Final Four. This year, there's not, and that's just the way it was. Maybe it was last year's class that was actually weaker than this year's class, and stop the narrative that freshmen can't win it. Bill Self's won with elite freshmen. Coach K won with elite freshmen. John Calipari's won with elite freshmen. So don't bring that here. And again, you guys are going to have freshmen. So I don't understand the Louisville pivot here. The Louisville fan pivot's like, you can't win with freshmen. You're going to have to win with freshmen. That's where you all are stuck. KP has got you stuck. You can't preach the same nonsense you preached when Patino was here. The game has changed for you. Kenny Payne is trying to build a team, a roster, the way John Calipari builds a roster, with 4 stars and 5 stars and transfer portal dudes. Not with guys sticking around for 3, 4 years or whatever it is. That's how you are. So quit with the freshman stuff. Y'all going to have to rely on freshmen. You're going to have to rely on a reclassification to be a starter. So you've lost this fastball. It's gone. KP took your fastball. Your coach took your fastball, period. You're going to have to change your argument. This ain't Ricky P recruiting Peyton Seaven, Gorgie Zhang to stay 3, 4 years. He's trying to get those types of dudes, and they're going to start for you. So try to come up with a new argument because this one ain't working. Texter. KP can't win with anyone, apparently. Okay, there we go. Texter, I have a reliable source that Davion McKnight has already decided he's going to Louisville. Let's see. Well, good friends with Taylor Lynch, and that's the source. So, I mean, yeah, you got a Western Kentucky guard, Davion McKnight. Congratulations, Western Kentucky guard. Texter, folks won with freshmen before COVID, allowed for grown men to play against boys. And again, COVID stuff's about to be over. So here we go. Texter, is Streeple going to nickname DJ Wagner and Edwards the Bash Brothers? I don't like the other word. Texter with a really crap text, so I'm not going to talk about DJ Wagner being really rude and nasty, so I'm not going to read that one. You're a bum. I saw your text. Yeah, you're a bum. Texter, already read that one. Texter, the only thing I'm mad about is Andy out, and I have to listen to fake KSR. I understand. You'd be mad about that. I won't be Louisville BBN dude all day. Kentucky BBN dude all the day. I promise. Texter, adding to my previous text, Louisville fans laugh because you fall for this trick every season. BBN won and Cal fired multiple times this season, and now look at you. Yeah, y'all doing the same thing. Y'all were ready to fire Kenny Payne. Now you're buying into Kenny Payne. Again. You guys have the same program now. It's being built the same way. Everybody wanted Kenny Payne fired. Now everybody's buying back into Kenny Payne because he got Dennis Edmonds. He got Trenton Flowers. He's going to get some dudes in the portal. We're doing the same dance, folks. We should join arm in arm. We're in the same boat. We're in the exact same. Y'all went 4-28, wanted that dude gone. Now you're like, hell yeah, give me Trenton Flowers. I'm excited about that. What are y'all doing? I'm bulletproof today. There ain't nothing y'all can say. Nothing at all. What do you think about that, Avery? What do you think about that as an opening of the show?
It's a good opening.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Did you see DJ Wagner's Rolls Royce?
I did not.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty great.
I'm going to see if I can find it.
I'll send you the tweet.
Oh, cool.
I will see you. It's a very, very nice. Have you ever been in a Rolls Royce?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I. I haven't either.
I'm too poor for that.
Yeah, you and me both, you know. I'm too poor for that, too. I've seen a Rolls Royce in person. I didn't get in it or anything, but it was kind of cool. It was pretty neat. A couple other things here before we take a break. Obviously, the and for the Louisville fans texting, like, I get this point. All right, Cal, don't screw this up. That's the number one thing. That's why I can't sit here and be like, yeah, we're going to a Final Four. Yeah, we're winning a national championship. Yeah, we're going to win the SEC. Like, I can't say that. I can be excited about the players. I can be excited and pumped up about what I saw last night because it was fun and it was awesome. But I don't have the faith in John Calipari the way I used to that he's going to be able to put this together. And that's the sticky point for me, is I don't have trust the way I used to in John Calipari because of the last few years and the way it's just been a mess. It's been a mess around Kentucky basketball. And I'm not going to sit here and be afraid to admit that. And that's the fear. And that'll be the thing that I think will drive Kentucky fans over the top, including me, is if you get these guys who look awesome and who will be NBA lottery picks, like multiple NBA lottery picks, and you can't make a run in the tournament or you can't have a season where I'm excited every game instead of being worried every game that I'm going to get beat by Vanderbilt or Missouri. That's the problem. That's the worry. Also, real quick before we get a break, good news on Rob Dillingham. According to KSR's Jack Pilgrim, the staff is expecting him to be there. They don't understand really what the worry is about him. They feel like he will be academically eligible and he'll be able to be a part of this team, which would be a big deal, because if that adds another five-star top 10 player to a roster, like, I would have loved to have seen Dillingham out there last night, but because of the Donda Academy and then going to Overtime Elite, he wasn't eligible for the McDonald's All-American game, but I would have liked to have seen him. He's really the only guy that we have no intel on whatsoever. Let's see here. Texter, Avery, please cut Rig's mic off. But they're laughing, so that's good. Texter, Rig, we are in a year two at U of L with KP. Y'all in year 15, we are not the same. No, you're not. You're right, we're not the same. You went 4-28, and you're just trying to make the tournament. You're like scratching and clawing to make the tournament. You're right, we're not the same. Agree with that. Texter, Mr. Strebel, going at the Cardinal's beak. Well, as soon as we're doing the Pledge of Allegiance this morning, Big Reg is shining. it was before school even started. But yes, I appreciate the Cardinal's beak tweets. All right, let's go ahead. Let's take a break. We'll get David Sisk in here from Rivals on the other end of things. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We're going to have some fun today. 437-9680 is a take with James Strebel, Avery Dill.
Time now for the take with Andy Sweeney.
If it's Kentucky basketball, we talk about it here on your home for college hoops, 93.9 The Ville.
And James Strebel.
Or not 93.9 The Ville, excuse me. It will not be on 93.9 The Ville.
Yeah.
It will not be on 93.9 The Ville.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
ESPN Louisville is your exclusive radio play-by-play home in Louisville for the NCAA tournament, including the Final Four and National Championship Saturday. The Final Four coverage begins at ESPN at 3:30 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app, 93.9 The Ville. We'll join around 8 p.m. after Louisville baseball. Monday, the national championship game coverage will begin at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. 93.9 The Ville will join at 7:30 p.m. after the Dan McDonald show. So plenty of college basketball to consume over the weekend. We have precious little time left to enjoy that. We have Saturday, we have Monday, and then it's all about baseball, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I watch my kids play baseball. I love it when my kids play travel ball and everything, but I don't really have a professional baseball team, so we'll see if I latch on to a team this year. I'm hoping I do. So right now we have David Sisk from Rivals.com with us. He covers the Cats for Cats Illustrated. He also covers the North Carolina Tar Heels. I have some questions about that as well. Coach David, welcome in. Always enjoy having you. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. It's always a pleasure. And I really wanted to do this, David, because so much has happened since the last time we talked, which was right before the tournament. And you really did a very good job of laying out the issues that Kentucky would have you know, trying to make a run in the tournament. Ultimately, we know that run never happened. We know that after beating Providence, Kentucky then did what they did most of the season, which is they were competitive in this game, but in the end, they just could not close it out. They had inconsistency from two of their starters in Jacob Toppin and Antonio Reeves. Is there anything else that could have been done for Kentucky to extend their tournament stay? Because that's 2 years in a row now. We're left with disappointment early in the tournament. And, you know, it happened the way we all kind of predicted, David. So is there anything else that could have been done for Kentucky to save their season?
No, and that's a good way to frame the question, because I don't think so. Unless somebody else would have just stepped up and absolutely had a Goose Gibbons kind of game like he had against Duke. Because Reeves and Toppin had become such a prominent part of the offense. If I'm not mistaken, if my numbers are correct, if I'm off, it's just by maybe one or two games. But I think Toppin, maybe 16 of the last 18 games were in double figures. And Reeves, the three games before the Kansas State game, was averaging 27 points per game. And I just – they couldn't make a shot. And I knew there were some weaknesses. I knew guarding a smaller lineup, keeping a guy like Marquise Noel in front of them. I knew all the defensive parts of it that would be a problem. And we knew offensively they weren't explosive, but I just didn't see Toppin and Reeves both having just a dreadful game shooting the ball the way they did. And the rest of the team, just as far as what the makeup of that Kentucky team, they just weren't good enough to overcome it.
Yeah, and that was the story of the season. There were so many times, David, that they just weren't good enough to overcome it. I mean, you had great games from Oscar Tshiebwe, great game from Casey Wallace, and then there literally was nobody else that did it. He had a couple spots with Chris Livingston. He had some nice rebounds, a couple buckets, but it just was not enough. What do you think about Antonio Reeves returning? What kind of role would you see him playing? Because he was, I mean, we did the numbers yesterday with Andy Sweeney, where he was, you know, 20, 25, 30 plus minutes per game. Now you have DJ Wagner coming in. You have Rob Dillingham coming in. You have Reed Shepard coming in. I guarantee Cal gets at least probably one more dude out of the transfer portal. What makes sense for Antonio Reeves as a player coming back, and what should we expect if that happens as far as his role?
Well, I know what makes sense for Kentucky fans, for John Calipari, for him to come back, and that is of all the, you know, guards that are going to be in a portal, and are going to be a bunch of them, is there anybody out there you can get that's really better than Reeves? And I think that's the question. You know, I don't think Hubert Davis maybe kind of had the same thing with Caleb Love. And you know, it was pretty well a given during the season that he would leave, but and that the coaching staff probably wanted him gone. And then after the season, when Hubert Davis started thinking about it, of all the guys that left in the portal, and he said, you know, the shooting guards that we're going to bring in are probably not better than him. And I say that for Reeves. He was such a critical part. And I think he would have more help this year. You know, there's a question or not whether Dillingham, you know, makes it to campus. And I don't know if he does or not. And if he doesn't, you sure need him. And, you know, you're talking about bringing in another piece out of the portal. I don't think that piece would probably be with the depth that's going to be there as far as starters go. Now, they're going to need more depth, but with the players that are already there, I don't think you're going to talk a two-guard or a point guard or whoever to come into Kentucky, and it's going to be better than Reeves are, because you know that they're not going to play 40 minutes a game and they're not going to be priority number one. So I don't know what would be the best for Reeves. You know, I've really not felt like he's going to come back, even, you know, despite all the newcomers that are coming in. I thought, you know, it's felt like maybe he might move on or try to look at the professional option because he's been in the college game for a while. But, you know, I sure think this Kentucky team would be better next year with him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just don't know – what kind of time there's going to be for Reeves. Obviously, he probably will not be playing the amount of minutes. And I guess the overall question for him and Calipari, you know, that they'll probably talk about as they have their end of the year meetings, you know, later this week is, you know, how many minutes can I expect if I do come back? Because it would be pretty tough because, you know, this is going to be the next question about Sevier Wheeler to go from playing the lion's share of minutes and being a starter to saying, okay, maybe more like 15 to 25 minutes.
Yeah, but I don't think it would go down to like kind of where Sevier Wheeler was at because, you know, Sevier Wheeler, some of these games are getting 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think – and the thing was, obviously, they kind of found their guy with Cason Wallace at the point guard spot, but then it kind of backfired, you know, toward the end because he played Cason Wallace to death.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it didn't work out, you know, for the best for anybody, really, in that circumstance, but – you never know. And here's the thing about Kentucky. The thing at the end of the year for the last 5 years, it seemed like, is they've been a mash unit starting about February. They get people hurt. I think they go really hard in practice. You know, and it starts every year before the season even starts. You'll look up in September, October, and they've got 4 or 5 guys that can't practice.
Right.
Because, you know, they really work hard, and it's a physical – it's a program based on physicality, and a lot of the guys' bodies don't hold up. And then you start tweaking ankles, and if another guy gets hurt, and you can't rest an injury, you know, just a nagging injury. So you never know how this thing could turn out. You know, somebody gets hurt, man, Antonio Reeves may end up playing 35 minutes a game in February and March. You wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach, and I agree with you. That's why I think he's an integral part of what they need to do going forward, and they need to get him back because that's a great argument. Are they going to get anyone better in the portal? David Sisk here with us. He writes for Cats Illustrated of the North Carolina Rivals Network. Sticking kind of with this year's team before we move on to next year's team and kind of what you're hearing or what you're seeing on that end, thoughts on Sevier Wheeler, the way he left. It's a very odd ending to his career to Kentucky. I think he played one game in February. After that, didn't play again. He had the instance where on senior night, he had the, you know, tailbone procedure done. Ellen Calipari comes out in his jersey. You have the build-up to the SEC tournament. Okay, he might play. There may be a chance. He's practicing. Doesn't play. Then you go to the NCAA tournament. He might play. He's practicing. He talks about how he doesn't understand why fans thought he quit on the team. Then he doesn't play at all in the NCAA tournament when it was being sold to us that he would play. Thoughts on that bizarre ending? And then what kind of place do you think Wheeler can find some success? Because I think he is a good basketball player. I think he does have value. But I think it has to be the right coach and the right system.
Well, the whole thing with Sevier Wheeler was weird, no doubt about it, because – we'd kind of been hearing, you know, from behind the scenes that he wasn't going to play again. And, you know, and like you say, and then they kind of pushed the narrative. And, you know, I'd heard even – I was kind of talking at the SEC tournament. Even a lot of it was going around in Nashville that he wouldn't play. And then I'll be honest with you, when they said he was going to try it out, going to play the NCAA tournament, I'll admit I was surprised. And I was getting ready to basically just kind of save face and say, well, I got that one wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he doesn't. So the whole thing was weird. But I think John Calipari, a lot of times you have these situations because, and I've said before in other places, he really, I think to a fault, tries to protect his players. And a lot of times it looks like he doesn't know what's going on it kind of puts him in a bad light, I think, with fans and others particularly. And I just think that he understands Kentucky, you know, like he says, is not for everybody. And he knows how the media and the fans, it can be a fishbowl. And I think he goes out of the way to protect them. He did the same thing, you know, with the young man a year before that Shaden Sharp came in. And you know, and I think kind of protected him from the whole thing, and even if he had to take the brunt of it. So, you know, it was a weird situation. And I think he can find a successful place, but he's got to have a place, a more up-tempo, that plays fast, and a place that's really guard-friendly in a positionless kind of team that, really spreads the floor and lets him play in space. If he goes to a place that can't shoot the ball, or and they pack a defense in, or they've got two posts or something like that,
like at Kentucky,
it's not a very good fit for him, because you know he's got to put that gas to the floor and get to the rim.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he was very much a victim of the system, and it was still kind of amazing that he was still able to lead the SEC in assists. Even before he got hurt, he was in the lead in the SEC for assists on a team that, you know, had, other than Reeves and at times Casey Wallace, because let's be honest, C.J. Frederick hardly ever played. Only those two guys were really perimeter shot makers, that he was still able to find those guys and get shots. So I agree with that 100%. Just real quickly here, David, expectations on some of the guys hanging around, specifically Fierro, Onyinso, Livingston, Reeves, just a gut feeling. Again, they're going through their meetings with John Calipari. Those four guys, particularly, gut feeling, staying or going?
I would say Fierro would, no doubt to me, he's back. Livingston looks like he's gone, from what we're hearing. Looks like Onyinso, you know, that he's going to be gone. And who else am I missing?
Reeves.
Here? Reeves, yeah. And like I said, I've never really kind of thought Antonio Reeves would be back, I think simply because he came in as a senior and as a transfer, and, you know, he's been in the game for a long time. But you never know. And you think, well, other guards coming in too, like you said, and NIL and everything. Mm-hmm. But he would really – I think Calipari would like to see, you know, all these guys back, to be honest with you, you know, and is making that push. But – you know, like I said, Reeves is one that I would really try to put the full court press on to come back.
I'm sorry to interrupt. What changed with Onyinso? Because it was sold when he committed to Kentucky that this would be kind of a red shirt type. You know, they wouldn't officially put the red shirt on him, but it'd be a red shirt type year. He learns behind Oscar. He gets comfortable in the system. And then he comes back and he's the big man for Kentucky, because Aaron Bradshaw isn't a true post player. He's not a guy that you're going to stick down on the block and say, okay, post up. He's going to get some outside shots. He's going to do some other things, be more of a stretch four. And John Calipari immediately after they lost to Kansas State the next night, he's on his radio show saying he's going to be one of the best bigs in the country, and he's really putting all of his chips in his basket and saying, I can play on Onyinso and Bradshaw together. And then all of a sudden, you know, next few days after that, it's being leaked out that Onyinso is thinking about transferring. What's going on here? Because this never entered my mind this season that Onyinso would not be on the team in 2023, 2024.
You're running into more and more like inner circle decisions. You know, I think it's very similar to what you had with Shaedon Sharpe last year.
Huh.
Shaedon Sharpe, from everything I heard, wanted to play. And he had individuals in Canada who had a lot of input with him, and it was really in his ear that it would be best that he didn't, because of draft stock. And I think Onyinso, you've got an inner circle that really I think may have more say so in what he does than Shaedon Sharpe did, that just might control the narrative here. And everything I've heard, that he wants to come back. But you know, I think you run into a lot of this, especially of international players, especially those from Africa, that they don't always necessarily have the last say so in all this. So you know, I'm already hearing, you know, and I think several people in the grassroots media are, of other destinations that he could be going to, and if he does, and you're already hearing names in the Big East and you know, closer to where he was originally, and I guess there's some of these programs now, and I'll just leave it at this, who may be more attractive destination spots right now than they were a year ago. You can kind of do the math on who those schools may be.
Yeah, just a stunning development with him, David Sisk. Very disappointing, because now Cal is going to have to go out in the transfer portal and get another big, and he needs to get another center. He needs to get another power forward for sure, because I'm with you. I think Livingston's gone. Obviously, Toppin's gone. So, yeah, he's going to have some work to do with bigs in the transfer portal.
And if I can say this, I think this is one thing, too. I think there's a lot of, I guess, with a Kentucky fan base right now, of doom and gloom around the program, you know, where they just don't have the confidence that they might have a couple years ago. And I think obviously the results from the last couple of years, you know, play a big part in that. But one thing you know, John Calipari might not get confused with strategically with a Bob Knight or a Bob McKillop or somebody like that. But the one thing people knew that he could do better than anybody was put a roster together. And, you know, no matter what, if it was a transfer, if it was a high school player, what have you, and that's not been the case the last couple of years, and, you know, it's kind of starting with Shaedon Sharpe, and now, you know, with what's going on, it looks like just with the new game of college basketball, with NILs, with the transfer portal, with guys just leaving at the drop of a hat, that, you know, he doesn't have the control over that he used to have. And, you know, that was, like I said, that was always a big, I think, point of confidence for Kentucky fans. And it just looks like, you know, he doesn't have control over that the way he did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think it shows, too, some of the frustrations we've seen the last few seasons. It feels like lack of control on Cal's part. And, again, not all his fault, but lack of control, obviously a problem. Last one for you here, David Sis. Thoughts on Caleb Love and where he might end up? This is a big name around here, around these parts. Louisville fans would love if, you know, no pun intended, would love if Caleb Love came and played for them. They were a finalist for him before he ended up going to North Carolina. He was a Chris Mack recruit. Any ideas or thoughts on where Caleb Love might end up as he exits North Carolina and exactly maybe what happened? There are some rumors that there wasn't the most harmonious of locker rooms there in Chapel Hill.
You would be right on the last part. I'm not going to go into any more detail on that one. But yeah, it was not. There were locker room issues there. I think that he's going to be best. I would say the same thing about him that I said about Sylvie Wheeler. I think the problem was at North Carolina, he experienced the same problems this year experienced his freshman year, and that was there was no space. His freshman year, North Carolina had 4 7-footers, and there were always two on the floor, and he's a guy that's just got to have room and space, and he doesn't like all that confinement in the half court. And, you know, the freshman year, he didn't have it. The sophomore year, Brady Manick was the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah.
And now Manick can spread the floor out, yep. And now Caleb Love is playing his space, and he's a different player. And then you go back to last year, your small forward couldn't make a shot, your power forward couldn't make a shot. You had Baycott constantly in front of the rim, and so you've got anybody you played just had 10 feet packed in the paint, and he had nowhere to go. And they ran they never ran. There were several games they had zero transition points. So he needs to go to a place that's really going to push the ball, that's going to play fast, and is going to play in the open floor and let him create space because, you know, he has some things he does very well,
yeah.
And he's hit and miss on some stuff, and then there's things he'll drive you crazy. But, you know,
he can shoot you out of a game. Yeah, he can shoot you out of a game as much as he can shoot you into a game.
Yeah. I mean, the same shots that he made that looked impossible in the Final Four that made him a hero were the same shots the rest of his career where the fans are going, what in the world are you doing? So, you know, the only difference was whether he made or didn't make. So it's going to be it's going to be interesting. But like I said, I think if Kenny Payne can sell him that, hey, this is the way we're going to play, and I think playing style is going to be a big thing to him. Yeah, I think Missouri's going to be an era the way they play. Mm-hmm. Home state. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama's not with the way I think those styles are all very good. So, like I said, it's got to be something like that that's really perimeter friendly.
All right, David Sisk, enjoy it as always, my friend. You have a great rest of your day on a hump day on a Wednesday, and we'll talk again down the line, man. Enjoy it as always. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me.
All right. David Sis there for the Rivals Network there, North Carolina and Louisville. So there you go. Did you like that, Avery? Is that good for you?
Yeah, it was good.
All right, fantastic. Yeah, so the Ugonna Yinso stuff, obviously the big news coming out of that, David Sisk thinking he might be, well, not might be, he's going to be somewhere else next year. It's going to be a one-and-done to Kentucky and playing very limited minutes and through the Big East Conference out there. Is that a Rick Pitino thing? Wouldn't surprise me one bit. And then Caleb Love sounds kind of like an Alabama or Missouri system for him. So we'll see. Maybe Kenny Payne can sell him. Obviously, Caleb Love has been to Louisville. He knows what it's all about around these parts. So there we go. All right, let's take a break, Avery. On the other side of the break, we'll have Big Dan. Dan Issel, the great one, will join me here on the Take, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.